There you go.
Can you hear?
Yeah.
Good. Good.
Okay. The first one, number one on the sheet. I was left a little bit question. Not sure I necessarily have a full answer yet, but it's more just kind of just putting the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle together in a sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the way that the Gemara flows is, right, we kind of have these questions about kind of let's call it blockages or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. So we say, a tall person in front of a short person, that's obvious, that's okay for because kind of it's not a blockage, yeah? And we end up saying, what about mechitza, right? So that's effectively the question, yeah? And the question that we need to kind of look into is, what actually situation are we talking about where we think that maybe mechitza might yes or might be no? Right, that's the first question. Mm-hmm. And then when we come up with this answer, right, we come up with this answer from Rabbi Shua ben Levi, yeah? And he says that basically mechitza, there's no mechitza, even a mechitza shel barzel is not going to be an interruption between us and our Father in heaven, yeah? So the question is, like, how is that an answer? What's the context of that statement, basically, yeah? I mean, on the simple level, it just sounds like, don't worry about mechitza, mechitza is like, never a problem, yeah? But the issue is, and we'll look into this, that statement was actually made in a particular context, and by the way, it's disputed. It's actually subject to a machlokas, yeah? So let's kind of one step at a time. So the first is, what is actually the situation we're talking about, yeah, that is actually being discussed right now? And this is kind of spoken out by Tosafos, yeah? And it kind of makes the obvious point, right, that... We know as taken for granted before we get into this discussion, yeah, that people who are out in the fields, yeah, are included in the bracha, right? Why? Why is that? Because they're what's called anisi, right? They're occupied by the pinasa, and they've got a good reason why they can't be here, yeah. So for sure, they're included in the bracha. That's never a question. So kind of by default, what is this question about people who are behind the mechitza? So we're obviously talking about people who kind of in theory could be kind of in the classic position, right? That they're there, right? They're not anisu, yeah? They could be standing like right in front of the kohanim, yeah? And so we know therefore standing behind the kohanim is no good for these people, right? They're not going to be counted, yeah? The only question is, what happens if they're in front of the kohanim but behind a wall? Like, do they need to kind of go out from behind the wall and get like properly in front of the kohanim without anything in between? That's really what Tosafos speaks out, yeah? So that's the question we're dealing with. Now, when you put it that way, so when you think about it, right, when we're talking about mechitza, it's obvious to us that mechitza is not going to interrupt the people kind of way out in the fields, yeah? So the only question now is, but if you're not anus, yeah, and you could be the other side of the mechitza, like right in front of the kohanim, would this mechitza be a problem or not? That's contextualizing kind of what the actual question is in the Gemara, mm-hmm. Yeah? Now, let's go on to the next part, yeah? So, as I said, like, there's actually a machlokas, yeah, in another place between Rav Shua ben Levi and Rav, yeah? The Rishonim kind of discuss, like, what's the context? It comes in Pesachim, it comes in other places. What's the context of that machlokas, yeah? But just to give you a feel, yeah, we end up paskening like Rav Shua ben Levi. Why? Because one of the rise with paskening like him is because our Gemara just brings his opinion and doesn't bring... Ooh. Rav, yeah, that's actually a rye that people mm-hmm. that we actually paskin whatever that machlokas is, like Rav Shua ben Levi, because in theory, Rav would disagree with this halacha and would say no, a wall is a problem. So the bottom line is that the Rishonim say what it's not, and kind of by default get to maybe what it is. Yeah, so they're not talking about, for instance, yeah, where you're outside a shul and you hear a shofar. Right? Or you hear the Megillah, because that everyone is going to agree, both Rabbi Shua ben Levi and Rav, who's the one who disagrees about this halacha, everyone will agree that's okay. Yeah? If you're outside a shul and you hear a shofar, right, the person blowing the shofar intends to kind of cover everyone who hears, and the person, and you hear it outside the shul, you're fine. So you're behind the mechitza, it doesn't matter. Yeah? That's not when Rabbi Shua ben Levi is saying his halacha. Right? And on the other hand, they say, yeah, he's also not talking about being, mitzaref to a minyan, right? Because for sure, if you're outside that, you know, a wall, yeah, even Rabbi Shua ben Levi is going to agree you can't, you know, they've got nine inside and one outside a wall, you know. It's all well and good to say that, you know, there's no, even Mechitza Shel Barzel is not going to interrupt, yeah, but it's not going to make you, it's not going to cause there to be a minyan where you've got nine one side and one the other side, yeah. So basically, what a number of the Rishonim say is the actual, it's a very particular kind of narrow machlokas, yeah. It's talking about, yeah, if people are saying Kedusha, right, or they're saying kind of Baruch Hu, yeah, can the person who's the other side of the Mechitza, can he kind of join that? So they have kind of like a minyan inside, and they're saying Kedusha, they're saying Baruch Hu. Can he kind of join that and answer and be kind of considered part of that Kedusha or Baruch Hu? It's kind of like, it's very kind of quite a narrow kind of thing. And Rav says no. Maybe Shuvah Zanegi said no, the Mechitza is not a problem because there's no Mechitza. It's a Devash of the Kedusha. When it's a Devash of the Kedusha, there's no Mechitza. And yeah, he can't perform the part of the minyan, but he still joins to this because there's no Mechitza for the Devash of Kedusha. Separate us and our Father in heaven. Anyway, that's basically contextualized. So when you kind of start digging in, you realize, okay, this is quite a specific kind of question, right? Will Mechitza stop someone who's not on this, yeah? They could be in front of the Kohanim, or is it like as if they're standing behind the Kohanim, right? And in order to answer this, we're bringing a particular halacha about Devash B'Kedusha. So, Adkan, that's kind of like the clear part. My only question is, well, how do then the two connect together? Why is that? Why is this halacha right to that? And I haven't got necessarily a good answer. I'm just pointing out that that's kind of what comes out from the Gemara.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay, I mean, I could just answer, but I'm not, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm saying somehow this is like akin to, you know, a Devash of a Kedusha where you've already got Kedusha there and someone can join in even if they're the other side of the wall. And even if they're not honest, they don't, that's okay. They're okay where they are. Mm-hmm. Kind of something to that effect. And that's according to Rav Shua ben Levi.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Next halacha. Now this is actually an important halacha. The Maisa, right? Kevin Shiniftach Sefer Torah Asla Saper Afila B'Devar Halacha. Right? Mm-hmm. Kind of all used to this, yeah? Kriyas Torah, we're all very careful, yeah? Pass this on. We're just kind of going on to number two here. Kriyas Torah, we're very careful kind of not to speak, yeah? Now, there's two parts to this, right? The first part is just, the Rishonim, Tosfos Rosh, they all bring that there's kind of a Maisa of Rav Sheshes that comes in Brachas, yeah? And Rav Sheshes basically said while during kind of Kriyas Torah, he would kind of turn himself, yeah, and carried on learning, right? So it seems to be that, you know, there are situations in which right, kind of, you know, maybe even during Kriyas Torah, you can kind of like carry on learning, which is kind of connected to what this is saying. This is saying you can't do anything, you can't learn out loud, and you can't answer, give halachic paskening, you can't do that when it's Kriyas Torah. So basically, kind of look inside there, there's tons of different chalukim that kind of are brought, yeah, in terms of why Rav Sheshes might be different. I mean, I don't think much of that is shaykh halach lemaisa. The bottom line really is, I think pretty much all of us, we have to kind of listen, yeah?
I saw one like, so-called rabbi, I don't know if it was a really rabbi, in Beitar who used to do it.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if it wasn't Rabbi Mishul, but it was like somebody, it looked like it was a Choshev guy, but and he used to, it was funny.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Yeah. But I don't know if it maybe been Yotzi Kriyas Torah beforehand.
Yeah, so that's one of the things. One of the things might be he'd already had his Kriyas Torah, or actually, Rav Sheshes, actually, they say maybe he wasn't even chive in Kriyas Torah because he was blind. Yeah, there's kind of all sorts of interesting answers, okay. Yeah? But that's just to let you know, that's like something that's like a big discussion in the Rishonim, mm-hmm. Yeah? But the main thing here we want to talk about is, yeah, at what point do you have to be quiet, right? Is it basically kind of, you know, as soon as kind of the Sefer Torah is there and the person is kind of basically about to say his bracha, right? But even before the reading, yeah? Or is it kind of, no, it's only reading once you start the reading?
There's a bit of a steer between the between the sources, right?
Why?
Because the first one says niftach,
yeah,
and the second one was only sounded only when he was reading.
Wow, it's brilliant. Okay, so that basically Maron Misada kind of makes that diuk.
Okay.
So basically, no, I mean, really, Rav Eliashiv, he points out the Magen Avraham says, yeah, that it's everything like we were saying, yeah, the first source, yeah. Kind of when it says Mishnah Niftach, it sounds like as soon as you kind of open it, right, even before you've started reading, yeah? That's kind of what he's saying. So in which case it would be right from the beginning, yeah? But the Moroni Sada says he doesn't think that way, basically because of what the Rebbe says. Like, we bring two sources, and the second source says, "V'oznei kol ha'am el sefer Torah," which sounds like when you're reading, yeah, when you're actually reading from the Torah, yeah. So basically, you know, he wants to say based on that, that's kind of, you know, how the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch kind of seem to be mashma as well. It's kind of when specifically when you're kind of reading. So that's quite interesting. And then the Moroni Sada that carries on, and he says, by the way, he says, why is it that this halacha is brought over here, right? Because you know what, we're talking about Birkas Kohanim, and then and then all of a sudden it kind of goes on a tangent and starts bringing this. So he actually wants to suggest, by the way, it's interesting, that the same thing during Birkas Kohanim. He's kind of, there's like a commonality, yeah? That whenever you're doing something which is trying to, like an obligation for the rabbin, yeah? Kriyas Torah is basically like a community thing, yeah, you're meant to say. So there you have to be silent. You have to, everyone's meant to be listening, yeah? So he's saying you should also know that there would be, he wants to suggest there'd also be an issur of speaking during Birkas Kohanim.
Right.
Which kind of make, I don't think anyone would speak during Birkas Kohanim, right?
Right.
But anyway, he says that's kind of the connection between the two.
Unless one of those who bless them, you know, the Pesukim.
Ah. True. Okay, well, actually, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Talk about that. Okay, now the next part, yeah? So Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, "Kol kohen shelo natal yadav lo yisas kapal." If you haven't washed your hands, you shouldn't do Birkas Kohanim. Yeah? Mm. So there's an interesting question here about what happens if, like, you're in a real, real rush. Yeah, you can't. I mean, this is Shaykh Kohanim. Can you rely on your washing that you did earlier in the day? Let's say you've been very careful, like you washed before tefillah. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You'd be really, really careful, like kind of bidi evig or whatever. Could you rely on that? Yeah. So there's like kind of quite a discussion here in the you know, the poskim, whatever. So this is from Rabbi Yashiv, yeah? So he quotes this kind of number three. Let's, I suppose, read the side because it's not very long. So he says, right? So apparently the Tosfos says, yeah, that, no, it has to be right next to actually when you say it. Below your elbow, nitilas yudam shakris. So that's Tosfos. Ulai harambam mivuah. Right, the Rambam, it comes out clear from the Rambam, yeah, the Nitilas Yadayim Shachris Mahani, that actually kind of, I suppose, Bidi Eved, it's okay. The Katav Magen Avraham, the Halacha, right, B'Shem HaTosfos Didan. Now, the Magen Avraham, however, seems to go with our Tosfos, yeah, for Asur L'Hashvos, right, and you're not allowed to have this any kind of gap, yeah, K'day Chiluk Kuf Beis Amma, right, you're not allowed, there's a kind of a particular time period, Kuf Beis Amma, I don't know, like, how long that is, yeah? But Nitilas Lebracha, yeah? You actually, we paskin, Magen Avraham paskins like this toast, so it has to be close together, yeah? And listen to this, yeah? L'chein sarich litol samuch l'ritzei, yeah? And he goes on a step further.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it next to ritzei. You really do have to wash your hands then, yeah? That's kind of likuva. V'chazen lo yarech b'ritzei. And the interesting, he adds, yeah? And he says, you should know, that let's say you're kind of going to put some washes before ritzei and start to go up and, like, you know, if Rabbi Yashiv was the one who said that you can be up there before it, say, as well, by the way, yeah? But he points out, you know, the chazan shouldn't take too long because then it might be, I mean, I don't know what the time period is.
Yeah, so it sounds a bit very tight.
Yeah, the other point they say was Seyarev, there's no way it's under time.
Ah, it's a really interesting, yeah, I wonder that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they do a long...
Does he say why he has to be so close to it?
No, yeah, it's really interesting.
No, it says...
Why does that...
No, this is, it's mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, I think.
Oh, why?
No, but what's the reason? Why is it that...
It's taken...
I know as long as you keep in mind, that's fine.
No, because I think it means to the void. It's teicha. It's something about the time it takes to walk between the bizbeach and something. It's teicha v'smicha shchitz. I can't remember what it was. There's like...
So
I don't know why they put. I can't remember. I'm like,
somehow, it's a dedicated washing for this beer. I suppose there is a concept that being mitar yourself for particular purposes. Yeah, but there is. I wonder if there's a good question. I'm just suggesting. I wonder if there's an idea. There is a concept we've seen, isn't it? Being mitar yourself and then guarding yourself for particular purposes.
I think it could. It could be also that it actually applies for washing your hand for bread as well. Lachachila. It could be over here because you're doing a mitzvah with what you're hand washing, like immediately. You know what I mean? Like you're washing for bread or you're washing for blessing. In the morning it's different, right? You just matai your hands for.
And the Kohen doing that just to be matai
their hands. Yeah, but for the sake of the blessing. Not just, it's not like so it's like it, one is.
So before davening, they have in mind this is also for Kohen.
So, yeah, so that's the Rambam. Yeah. Yeah, that's why a lot of people. Yeah.
He's saying if you do have the mind free, just watch them in the morning.
If you had in mind, maybe it's better.
Yeah, right.
What are there's Koning with
Frankel does it the whole time. And they wash. And if you notice, Frankel washes before he does Musaf.
Right.
Before Musaf, because he knows he's going to, so he washes again.
Yeah,
so he uses the washing right before davening.
So he says so some Koen mamish don't go wouldn't this you're saying?
I mean he might never washes right before.
Wow.
He's basically because he always davens long and he always washes.
Harry, what do you do?
He doesn't
have
that one.
Yeah. Can't hear you.
I wash as best as I can.
Yeah. So you're much to do it close together.
I'm back with to wash it. It's actually, I don't care how if it's later, because I wash, I have a mind.
Finished.
I wash as fast as I can.
Fast.
If the levy is there for me, I don't like to make the levy wait.
Right. Oh, I see. Right. Yeah, that also makes sense.
Moshe David waits, though, right?
Moshe David tries to do it as quickly.
I think what's called is Rebbeim.
Close as possible. Yeah, maybe that's the point to this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, almost like
so once you become. You can't all do it till the last second.
That's true.
It's the same thing when you wash your hands for bread as well. I think the bit is what.
When you shiva, it's the time of work and washing your hands for
Yeah, you have to wait a long time.
Right. It's a lach achilo. Right. It's not ma'akev, this thing.
Yeah, I hear. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay. So next, you know that these Rabbi Lezer ben Shmuel, yeah. So he lived a long time, and he said because of all these things. So obviously the obvious question about the things he's talking about are why is he like a special mila? Like isn't this like the basic halacha? So one of the things he says is right that miyamai, yeah, in my days lo asita basic knesses kapandria. Yeah, I didn't I didn't do a shortcut through the Beit Knesset. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like you know why isn't that? Kind of, most of us are familiar with that being kind of a halacha, like they use a Beit Knesset shortcut. Mm-hmm. So, but Bekitz and the Marashah actually says that basically, really the halacha comes from the base of Mikdash, yeah? You're not allowed to kind of, it's because of the year you're meant to have the base of Mikdash, yeah? So the kind of the Ikur Din is the base of Mikdash, and the base Knesset is just because it's kind of a Mikdash mat, yeah? So that's why it's kind of still a mile or something.
All right, could be we're learning from him, we pass into his Midas Chassidus.
Maybe, yeah. Not sure. But Rabbi Asher is not happy with that because he says anyway in Brachas elsewhere it says like very clearly like a base kness is basically you know that anyway so he wasn't
okay
right so anyway so there's a discussion on that point not to use the bimah yeah that's a good point not to use the bimah
some people don't I don't know what it is, I just heard it, so then you know, there's a shortcut to get from
there. If it's always there, I could see nothing. There's nothing there. Because it makes noise.
It's quick. How is it squeaks, yeah, it's because it squeaks.
Okay, so this is an interesting part, yeah? So it says, Ein kara rashai likros kohanim, yeah? Ad shichla amein min piat tzibur. So who is the person who calls out a kohanim, right? We know that Rashi is always saying it's like the shliach tzibur, right? But here it actually says, Ein hakora, yeah? The person who kind of calls out, and then later on it actually says shliach tzibur, right? So I eventually found like someone who just got like the Rishonim that discusses Tosfos Rosh brings, yeah? So he says number five, he talks about I don't think I printed it all out. No, I did, yeah. Rabbeinu Tam, right? Hay omer shliach tzibur ein lo lahafsik tfilaso lekros kohanim. So he actually speaks out, he says, no, the shliach tzibur shouldn't call out kohanim, because that's considered a hefsek in his tefillah, right? And he says, Bahadakama, right, ein lekro, right? Lav b'shliach tzibur ayri ela chazan kinesis. Yeah. So that here, this is talking about the chazan of the base of kinesis. And then he carries on and he says, but wait a sec. If you can say that, you're going to say yeah, but then why is it the shliach tzibur then says word by word? If we're worried about hefsek, because what's the difference between calling out kohanim, yeah, and the fact that he then says word by word? So he actually addresses that, and he says, because it says amalahem, yeah, say to them. So it's kind of like a specific precinct to actually, for him to to kind of, you know, as part of his tefillah, to be calling out to them.
Right.
So maybe that's not a hefsek.
I know in Chabad and other places, the chazan reads the whole
So he also says Kohanim. He does say Kohanim.
Yeah.
In other places, yeah. Some people don't read the
Hi.
The Gemara makes no mention, or the Rashi, of the Shliach Tzibur calling out word by word.
Yeah, I also thought that as well.
He's saying the Gemara and even Rashi doesn't, when it talks about calling out, there's no mention of actually saying calling out word by word. Yeah, like saying,
Yerecha.
You know,
there was a
Tzibur
for calling who didn't know what to say. Trying to remember.
Where does it come from?
I don't remember when it was done.
So it's tough, not in the Gemara.
Right.
It's a synagogue as well. You know, it's a synagogue, which is the Yekeshev. The Chazan calls out Kohen.
Wow, interesting.
I'm talking about United Synagogues. I never not heard of Shliach Tzibur call out Kohen Im on Yom Tov. It's never the Gabbai or much of
anything.
Interesting. So there is this discussion about it, yeah. But I mean, we don't obviously. Like here, Shlichim never does it. And one time I didn't, I was told off because no one else was doing it. Yeah. So I was like, do it, yeah. And I got told off. So probably right because you're not meant to. Okay. And last one here, yeah. And this is actually also I found really interesting, yeah. So it says. Number 6, yeah? So we know this kind of like, this is giving the order of everything that we do in Kriyas HaTorah, yeah? You're not allowed to start the Maftir until you do Gelilah, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, right, how much do you have to wait, yeah? How long do you have to wait? The two options are, is it just once you've kind of closed the Sefer Torah, right? Kind of maybe that's kind of you've done Gelilah, right? Or is it no? You have to wait also till when the mantle, yeah, and all the
new
trappings are placed on. Yeah?
It sounds from Rashi would be the second one would think.
Oh, wait, it's completely finished.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a problem.
Okay.
We've got a problem later on in the Gemara.
Let's have a look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's very good. Yeah. Okay. Let's have a look inside. Yeah. So Upeirush Rashi. Yeah. So this is the Meron Masada, by the way. He speaks this out. Yeah. Upeirush Rashi. Kadesh lo yeh hagolim terudim minishma haftorah mipiam after. Yeah. So Rabbi Yehoshua is mechavin to what Meron Masada is saying. Yeah. Lefiza, right? And according to the reason the Rashi gives is, yeah, it's the person who's doing the galila, right? He should be basically like not occupied so that he can fully give his full attention to the person reading the haftorah. That's really why we do this. So he says, if he's there, be inyan, yeah, she yichake ad sheyigmo haglila. Mamash, it should be right to the end, yeah? Right? And then he says that, and that's, basically he says that's what's implied in the Shulchan Aruch. Aval ha-me'iri, yeah, katav, yeah, the me'iri says, no, the reason is different, yeah? The reason is, kadesh shelo yishkechu, right, milagol, right? So you shouldn't forget to do glila, because if, let's say, you know, you didn't have this halacha that wait from one to the other, so maybe people will just, like, whoever's on the bin will just start doing the thing and people will completely, like, I don't know, it's a bit hard to think how you'd forget to do Galila, right? Because you kind of come and hug, but I'm not sure.
They
rule it afterwards. Maybe that's what somebody's talking about. They just close it. Yeah, and they don't actually do a...
Right.
So it's maybe something like that basically he's saying that you could completely forget somehow, leave it open, yeah, and forget to do Galila, right? So that's the answer to the Umiri, right? Right, and if that's the case, according to the Umiri, yeah, it will come out that it's just, in the only point of this order is just to make sure that you don't kind of forget to do it, b'chlal, yeah? So in which case, once you actually do the rolling, you don't have to do everything else, yeah? That's enough, yeah? Mm-hmm. So it says, basically, it comes out from Meron Masada that this question about how far you have to, you know, go will actually depend on the reasoning, yeah? And it's Machlokes and the Rishonim.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's fascinating is, basically, yeah, that the Mishnah Berurah, the Halacha, yeah? So the kind of is mentioned in two places, yeah. And the first time, right, he basically brings the prima godin, yeah. And the prima godin says the minhag is, yeah, just to wait till you've done the actual main rolling, yeah. And even if you haven't then put on everything else, that's enough, yeah. But then the Mishnah Berurah carries on and says, however, Rashi is not mashma that way. And he kind of, it sounds like he's not machriya, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But later on, yeah, in the other halakha, right, he seems to give just the reasoning of Rashi, yeah? That basically the reason is that the golel should kind of concentrate, yeah? So my observation was that if, you know, according to the Meromei Sada, I think the way I read it is that if Meromei Sada is correct, sounds right, yeah? That since later on he just gives the reading of Rashi, it's mashma to me that the Mishnah Berurah would be his maskana, right? Even though he brings two opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, Tatlin the Maisa, I don't know. I don't think people are always makpid to wait till everything's completely finished.
Yeah, it's not much. Usually up on the bimah here, it's rolled and then we have to wait for the clip and then once the cover goes on, then before.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. So once the cover is on, there's not much else to do, right?
Well, I mean, there's the plate.
Oh, I suppose, yeah.
And then
they
give
Gleila
to little kids.
If you give Gleila to a kid, then I suppose it's
not. Which Rabbi Muckbeats actually have the haftorah ready to give to the person that's given the Gleila, otherwise they miss the haftorah.
Ah, right. So they're also, yeah.
But we're talking about a very different situation because the Gemara in and of itself is like we're bringing the Sefer Torah out of the table. So, I mean, what's that? Do they cut? It had a cover on it and all sorts of.
Well, they bring it out the table. I understood they bring it out the table right at the end, though. I don't know. My understanding was that it's when
we're talking about the reading.
Yeah, you mean the reading that then
the table comes in. I don't know. We're talking about Galila. We're not talking about putting it back in the table. But it's rolled and it's covered on the bimah before it goes back into the table. And it's just covered, but it's just got to be. It sounds to me very simply that don't start them after until the Sefer Torah is just rolled. However, that Sefer Torah looked like back in that days, and it's either put to one side on the bimah or I don't know, because the knobby would be on a clap as well.
Right. Yeah, but I know because I know with Ari, right, with Ari. But I know that when we do when we do the Misha Beiruchs or whatever, that we start them before. Before it's, you know, but that's okay because that would fall outside this halakha anyway, right?
Yeah, it doesn't need to be yotzei.
Yeah, we make sure like no Ari, like we make sure that someone's actually that Galila's been done, and then we start going in and allow him to like finish off, you know, because we're always trying to save time, like, you know, not have people waiting too much, so we kind of start. No. You always get me to start,
yeah,
right?
I usually don't do Shabbos Saturday.
Yeah,
so
Brad, you're saying on Shabbos they don't start the haftarah until the actual mantle is placed. And
yeah, I think that's right, though. There's a chiluk between Shabbos and the week.
Because on Shabbos we're doing the haftarah, exactly. Yeah, very good. So I guess we go like the kind of the Rashi opinion.
Yeah, you mean according to the Meiri, we're also applying the week.
Yeah, according to Meiri, it'd go the whole time, right? It would just be as one, right. once you close it, you're fine to go.
Right.
Yeah.
I just had a shalom on the mechitza I spoke about. It's like a difference. There's a difference between the kohenim are a conduit for a Kodesh Baruch Hu to bless us. Whereas, like, for example, Kedusha and what have you, is the list, we're sort of praising or hailing Kodesh Baruch Hu's name. So, I'm not sure I understand fully where you brought the idea of if somebody's behind on the chitza, whether they're Mr. Rafi and a minion or not. Meaning, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu is blessing you, you know, through the hands, it will pierce an iron wall. If the person behind the wall has the kavanah that they want to be blessed, there just is a wall that's maybe just above 10 to 15. High, still, it will get to him.
Yeah, but I suppose what I'm trying to bring out is there are different ways. But all I'm saying is, yeah, we have a question here. One thing is clear, right? People who are out in the fields, there's no question, right? So what I'm saying, definitely right. The bracha has the koach to kind of pierce through. That's not shy though. Here, our question is only on someone who could go in, and on that we have to say somehow it would be a machlokus between Rav and Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So I'm just trying to work out what and that halacha, that machlokes they're talking about, seems according to these Rishonim, it's talking about dafka this case of Rashi and Kedusha. So you're right, I'm left not really understanding why this is akin, that bit of parallel to that.
But you know, I'm saying in terms of the Kohenim, our blessing, it's coming from Hashem to
right,
us.
Right, so why is that? Saying, so you're saying it's
we're
different.
Going the other way, yeah. We're going the other way. I mean, it's interesting, I suppose. You know, I think that being a cousin, whatever you think you heard on a Shabbos specifically, or even here when there is a cousin, that when you in the art scroll actually says what you should do as a Shia Tzibur, when a Kohen is not there, and you say, can you hear a song, right? So the Shia Tzibur, the first one is he goes to the left. The first one is he goes to the right. Then you hear a song, he bounces. You're Recha Hashem, Yushmerecha, he goes to the right. Then you're a song. You saw Hashem, he goes to the left, and then he saw, then he goes in the middle. But whereas we don't say Shalom, when we step back, we go the other way around. Obviously, we go left, then we go to the right, in the middle. So I think the answer which I might see is that the Shliach Tzibor, he himself is acting as if he's Kohen. Yeah. So he would be bowing to the Wailer, he would be bowing to a Kodesh Baruch who's, you know, would be back, as if he's a Kodesh Baruch on the right side to give strength. So when Shliach steps back, he'll say, he bows to the right, he'll go, Chai Shem Yishmarech, as if Yisav, right? But I say Shalom is different, you're out of the realm of acting as a Shliach. So you go left, then you go right, then you go in the middle. Mm-hmm. There's a clear there's clearly something going on in terms of the push and pull between the bracha that we're giving, which is civil, versus the bracha that as us as a civil giver, but it's bracha. So I thought that I was like, oh yeah, of course, if the Kodesh Baruch Hu peers through, when it comes to us singing praise to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we mummish need to be a 10 and look into one work. That's our little
mind. Yeah, but I think what you're saying kind of bringing out more of the question.
Because the machlokes is you might think a mechitza which stops you in kedusha, if you're behind it, is not going to help you. In this case, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu is blessing you,
you're saying it should anyway help.
Go anywhere. Don't have a hubble me on. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, I think you weren't here for number one, but I was just trying to understand on a technical level, like why the statement of Rabbi Shua ben Levi about ein mechitza, why that answers this particular shaila? Because it's a kind of the two that is from both sides. This is a very narrow shaila, right? This is like Tosfos brings out. It's a shaila basically specifically for the people who are not on it. Because obviously, in the field, people out in the fields who are honest.
Yeah,
what I'm just saying is, in terms of whether it's effective, obviously, there's no question, the people in the fields, the bracha will go to them. Yeah, there's like no shiloh on that. Yeah. So here we just happen to be speaking about, like, you know, it's akin, like, is this akin to standing behind the Kohanim or not? That's the first thing. And then the second thing is that this halakha itself is actually subject to machlokas, this statement. Yeah. And Taka, we paskin according to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, it's machlokas him and Rav. Yeah, it's based on the Gemara elsewhere. And we paskin like him, they say, because he's the only one brought in this place. So the context of that machlokas, it ends up being like a very narrow context. They're arguing about, according to these Rishonim, like Devash B'Kedusha, where you can join in. So the question is, once you put all the pieces together, why is it then that this particular Shaila is talui on that machlokas?
I look at the people behind the wall, they need to fall to the thing of onus in order to be included.
No, they're not in it. I'm saying they're not in it.
The people back might not be honest.
No, they're not in it.
I want to sit in this room.
For sure. That's exactly what I'm saying. They're not in it. So the only question is on when they're not in it.
So does it work for them even though they're not honest?
Correct. That's the shiloh. Then why is this halacha the one that's machriya that shiloh?
Well, pull from elsewhere.
You don't have to fall back on the onus. It goes without that.
But that's the question. But the question is that this machlokas, between Rosh Hashanah and Levi, we only have one side of machlokas and Rav, is actually brought in that machlokas is a specific context, which is basically that where there's Devash B'Kedusha, right, where people are saying Kaddish, or Baruch Hu, and they've got a minion there, but there's one person outside, can he answer to that Kaddish or Baruch Hu?
It's less direct. Mean kind of join, but
not
take a ride.
take a ride on that.
The two different things, right. Is answering and
the remaining. Yeah, exactly.
He can answer, yeah, and that's the machlokus.
You can answer Rav says
no, mm-hmm. Yeah?
He says you can't answer.
Yeah, yeah, Lechora, yeah, Rav says no, yeah? And Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who we're asking like, yeah?
So there's a difference between Megillah and Shofar.
Megillah and Shofar, you for sure can join, yeah? All right?
But you're answering the Rav.
So I mean, you have to. If you look at, you have to look at the Gemara based on in Pesachim. I think is the main machlokus, and these were shown in. I mean, something shown here, the case for Shant. Yeah, I'm saying somehow that machlokus of Rabbi Moshe ben Levi kind of that comes into play in this particular situation. Kind of, that's why I'm left with kind of wondering why this is somehow akin specifically to that case.
I think it's a double shub kedusha.
Yeah, it could be. I mean. Yeah, Dabish Kedusha.
It's a Shabbat, yeah.
Even though it's different, but it's a Dabish Kedusha.
I don't know what's bringing it, just this is the different direction. This is Hashem to you. That's why Mamash mentions La'avei Shabbat Shemayim. Why mention it? Nothing. Why mention that?
Yeah, but you're saying, but fine, but you're saying it's the Kuli Alma then, though. Even Rap would agree over here.
The problem is they paskin not. Yes. Like Rav,
Yes.
They say basically right. Gemara, not like Rav.
Exactly. From this.
This Gemara. True and they do.
Right. Yeah.
You're saying it's a. Not a difference between if they're answering the bracha or if they're just speaking the bracha.
It seems not. Yeah, that's what it's saying.
Somehow it's
because they're kind of just channeling something.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I have a Lemaisa question.
Mm-hmm.
This happened. There was a minyan, exactly 10 people, 2 konim.
Right.
Which one of the konim came late to daven?
Right.
Okay, gathered the birkas konim. And the second one wasn't ready to go, so he wanted to step outside. So
that's a problem.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So, because if he stays in, it looks like he's refusing,
you know, because
he wanted to go out.
That's really funny. Like, yeah.
Well, what would have been proper to do? Yeah. Might say he stood right out the door and the coin did it. The coin is left, did it.
Yeah, well, you're not meant to do it.
Well, Corey should have.
Corey should have done it.
Should have gone up. He could probably.
He wasn't in
a place where he could answer. He could answer.
Like, maybe
I don't know.
So, but the question is, should he have just stayed in?
So that's really funny, though. I heard this is a machlokes. I heard from Shuli Borenstein. There used to be a place in Italy where they used to do Shomer Ka'ona with Berchus Kohanim. Only one Kohen used to say it. So according to that, it could go up.
Bishita.
They did it. Yeah. That was it. It was a whole machlokas. If you can be Yotzi Shemeika Oino in Berchus Kohanim.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
Shemeika Oino, that's second level.
I understand.
There's a whole thing in the raid in the Achrayin about this question.
Yeah.
You have to do the Kol Rav.
Right.
Like, you know when it comes to the when we do the Megillah, yeah,
right.
And we do like. Where people read out the all the names of Haman's children because it has to be Nishima Achas. So they say that this idea of Shomer Ka'one can't give you your own. If it has to be something which you physically have to do, like Nishima Achas, you have to do it. Yeah, so that's why everyone, you know.
So
they say also, like, you know, if you need to do, if there's a halacha, it's a whole. If it's a halacha,
yeah, Kol Rav, right? Yeah,
you can't have Shomer Ka'one. Yeah, I know. It's not necessarily. No, I mean, we don't necessarily pass in that, but whatever. But it's like a whole discussion about that.
But it very much seems, anyway, that anyone who's here doubling from the top of the earth is not shipping their spirits coming in. They all run round to go and get the brothel.
That's the other thing is people who are standing a little on the side come
round. Everybody comes round. It's as if
The question is, what do you hold the fun of?
It's a rough. Meaning, that it's okay, you can be honest, but people still want to rush.
Still want to rush round.
We had a question with the chazan. Because the chazan sometimes ahead of the kohen.
Yeah, I heard. I saw that right now.
Paskin, he stays there because sometimes kohen were standing way back. He said, "You stay there. You're like the people in the Sadeh."
That's what happened. I saw Rav Kanievsky though says. I saw in the I was looking at the Mishnah Brura, what's the name, the Dirshu, And he says, ideally, he says, a shliach tzibur should try to make sure that they don't daven behind the in a place where they know they'll be behind the kohanim.
Right, but I'm sure that's a setup.
It's a setup. What can you do? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The news will be better.
I've no idea.
even in the
United
Synagogue,
the cousin's always on the
bimah.
Right, so you're
okay. Yeah, if they're there, it's not a problem at all.
Right. I think that's one of them.
There's a lot of them that is the stage for our own Kodesh, and that's what the common stand of the cousin is before they get the cancelled out. Those are easy to quit. Our show is a little more difficult.
Oh, Hashem.